Hey, thanks guys for making time to be here to join us. We want to make space for parents to connect with one another and to build relationships with each other, and we want to look at biblical content to encourage us in our roles to be primary shepherds for our children and other children in our lives, and so that's why we host Parent Connections. We're glad that you are here and you're with us. This will be the third this school season. We did one in October, one in November. We broke for December with holidays. We have one now, and then look forward to another in February, March, and April. For this year, we are looking at different topics. We're not just reteaching content here, but we're springing off of ideas that are from this book. I recommend this to you if you have seen it or heard of it, or if you haven't. Gospel-Centered Family, Becoming the Parents God Wants You to Be by Ed Mole and Tim Chester. And so we're going to look at a passage that they talk about and spring off of an idea they have from this book this morning. As we begin, I'm glad that everybody's at tables and sitting around people and talking. So you may already know each other really well, or you may just be getting to know one another. And so let's take just a couple of minutes to make sure that everybody knows one another at their tables. And so if you don't know everybody's name, get to know everybody's name. And just kind of take a couple of minutes to work your way through some of the questions here. Share briefly your history in Glenwood and then something that you think is fun. Help to build some friendships with people that are around you. So take a minute and jump in with those at your table and work through that. Okay, here we go. So today we get to talk about what is success and what does it look like in our families. And as you know, both we as parents, individuals with jobs and school, employment, putting food on the table, but also our kids, tests, grades for a class, how they do in a big basketball game, how they do in a sports team in general, whether they're good at music or not. I mean, we face endless opportunities to succeed or to fail. I mean, we want to talk about, first of all, what success is, because we have to have the correct definition to know whether or not something has been a success or a failure. So we're going to look at defining success, and we'll try to apply it within our different families. We have not given any kind of a definition to succeed or fail yet, so don't worry about that, we'll get there. But I want you to start at your tables and just together agree upon an imagined scenario where a child, this could be a child in your family, or just a child that you could imagine, could face success or failure. So again, it could be something real in one of your families that you share, well, this is going on, and we feel this, you guys at the table say, okay, that'll be our scenario, because we're going to come back to these scenarios and talk about them. So you have slips of paper, and you have a pen or a pencil. Just quickly jot down so you all remember what the scenario is. I would agree as a table. So each table should have one scenario where a child could face success or failure. Make sense? Okay, talk as a family, as a table, decide your scenario, and go. So hold on to that, we'll come back to it, and you'll get to interact with it with different scenarios. So let's begin by trying to define success, and I want to begin first not with what may be our true definition of success for our own lives and our families or us here in the church, but I want to begin by defining success as we would perceive it in a broader Western American culture. So think of media, think of public schools, think of places not necessarily part of church, but within our broader culture, how we would think about success. If we see somebody, we say that person has succeeded or failed. To get us there, let's recall the old senior superlatives, right? So schools do this often still, where senior year class body will vote on people for different things, and one of them commonly is most likely to succeed. So imagine with me that we are a part of a public school where Bobby and Susie just got voted most likely to succeed. And this is just as a whole group right now. Throw out characteristics of those people. What do you think those people would be like so that they got voted most likely to succeed? Okay, I'm gonna quickly try to write these down. So straight A's, okay.
Grades,
uh-huh.
Good at sports.
Sports, athletic.
The good one.
Lots of friends.
Popular.
Yeah. Popular, and I heard assertive.
Probably somebody who talks a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
popular. What did I miss?
Recognized by the principal list or honor roll.
Recognized by others.
Looked up to.
Yeah. Yeah, and that can go with the recognized here. Looked up to.
Leadership,
influence, good. Okay, and we could continue with more, but that's a great start for what we would perceive to be somebody that will probably be successful. Succeed at what? Okay, life, and let's work with it because you're right, exactly. Succeed at life, but what does that mean? How do we expect them to succeed at life? What things would we expect them to do?
Career.
Have relationships, and tell me about relationships. How do you succeed in relationships?
Be a good communicator.
Okay, communicate well. Good. Here's from over here. Thousands of Facebook friends. A long-term marriage that is attractive, like they succeed at keeping their marriage partner, and they have to.
And looking good.
And look good, too. So it's got to fit a particular criteria of image.
Yes, the Joneses.
The Joneses. Okay, good. I heard over here career. Somebody said, "What about career? How would we expect them to succeed at career?"
Financially set.
Yeah, to have all the money that they need.
Or politics or something. You expect to see something huge.
So you expect to see something huge, something which is not regular that everybody else is doing. What typically from a our culture's perspective makes something huge or small? What would define it as huge?
Visibility.
Power, visibility. Okay, so it's something that is big that other people are going to see so they can recognize. They are awesome at that. Okay. So they don't have any pressure on them as they graduate high school and have a life at all, do they? Yeah, maybe an award you don't want to get. Okay, so we have given all of these, and there were more to these characteristics of what we think somebody might look like if they were voted most likely to succeed. You have scenarios that you just created. I want you to take this imagined person that has or is growing in these characteristics. There's somebody that we look at and we say, they are going to be successful. Put them as the child in your scenario. Does that make sense? Could you create a scenario where a child could succeed or fail. Now take this person that we would expect to be successful and put them as the child in that scenario and talk about what they would do. How is that child going to live out the scenario that you created? Okay? Okay, go. And to clarify, too, go ahead and say, according to this definition, sorry for interrupting. Not only what does this person look like in your scenario, but how would they succeed? What does it look like to be successful according to this definition of success? Okay. So let's. I want the groups to hear a little bit of your own application for this, what this looks like. So a spokesperson who wants to speak loudly, share briefly what the scenario is, and then how you talked about this last question, what it would look like to succeed in that scenario. Okay, so I want each table, one person to share briefly what the scenario was you created and then how you just talked about what it would look like for somebody to succeed in that scenario according to this culture's definition of success. Okay, make sense? Can we start with my left here? What scenario did you create and then what does it look like according to this culture's success to succeed?
No one's helping me. We got distracted by the baby.
Because She is so cute.
Yes.
That's very understandable.
We picked a teenager with doing homework, struggling with homework, and we came up with they need to ask for help and maybe take extra classes, do the work, and follow through.
Studies or something.
Okay, so put in extra effort, find a way to be able to succeed, to pass the classes, to learn the material and get the grades. Good, thank you. Here, what scenario did you create, and how did you say, according to this culture, it would look to succeed?
We were highly confused.
And it's my fault, I'm sorry. Can we bounce to another one? Or
I think we can go right past this, too.
I don't want to put you on the spot since I didn't set things up well enough.
I don't know if we succeeded or not.
We'll get to talk about that later, to see whether you really did. Okay, let's go to this table here.
Okay, so our scenario was a child in the store, like a younger child, who sees something that they want. They're told, no, they can't have it. And the question is, will they throw a tantrum? So then, based on some of the words that we came up with, we put in that scenario that they would ask for what they want. They're seeking it out. They're looking for ways maybe to even earn it themselves, because they're being proactive. They would probably ask why, but they don't know. Questioning it, they might even ask, like, how am I going about still getting what I want?
Okay, great. Did most of you hear that? Child in the store, and they would ask, but then they would be assertive. Okay. Good. In the back.
We have to talk about, like, getting into, like, sports, kids getting into, so they can succeed or fail. And looking at, like, if the child was, you know, good at sports, but was also popular and assertive, confident, it'd end up being, maybe in the varsity team, by the time they get to high school, or team, leader of whatever sport they're in.
Okay, great. So they would play sports and they would be really good at it. They would excel. Good, here.
Our child is about 2 to leave the nest and make those next choices and steps. Where to go to school, what to major, who they associate with, who their friends, and they'd be figuring out how to make those right choices. Be the assertive, successful, maybe have a sports scholarship, going for that.
Very good. So sports scholarship. What would be some statements of they're at this brink of leaving the nest, and what does it look like according to this culture standard to succeed? How do you know if they have succeeded?
They go to the school they want.
Okay.
They get accepted into whatever programs or what do they have? Different.
So whatever they're looking at to do.
Where are they going to live? What groups they're going to get into? Student government, whatever.
Great. Thank you.
So we were saying that one of the situation that we, I guess, not as much with us, and the far ones are little, but they were talking about in their family, is that one of your kids could be empathetic to, like, understand, like, the older kids playing with the younger kids and actually wanting to play with them and including them and that kind of thing, so being empathetic in that way. And we were looking at success in our world, and I was kind of thinking about this too right before I was talking, but how, a lot of times it's who knows everyone, not necessarily who's actually thinking about how other people feel. And we were thinking, too, the person who would probably be the most empathetic in a group of friends, like when they're younger, probably wouldn't be the same person that we'd vote for as most successful once they get to high school, because they probably would be the one that's a little bit on the quieter side of serving rather than on the forefront. I mean, they definitely could be that person, but at the same time, those characteristics don't mean that that person's going to be an empathetic, like, caring, really thinking about other people type of person. So
you're operating with a valid and a slightly different definition of success than the person who's going to be most popular in class, necessarily.
Right.
They're succeeding at...
Because someone just as less known could be just as much successful.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that because the people don't realize or recognize that they're at the background of things, that they're not successful.
Great. And even within our popular American culture, that's very valid. A lot of people would be able to look at someone who cares for others well and say they're successful at what they do. So we're oversimplifying to say that this is our culture's definition of success only, right? I mean, certainly this is a popular definition of success, and some of the first things that might come to mind, but it's valid to say, well, how is somebody empathetic with others, too? Okay, so we have lots of different examples of success and how it looks. Get good grades, get accepted into the program, obey parents, but also work to be able to get what you want, but know that boundary of what's good and what's not. Is there any way we can wrap it all together and give a general definition of success based on all these different examples? What's tying all these things together? According to our popular culture, how do we define success?
Are we looking at Bible-wise or just...
Not Bible-wise. We're talking popular culture.
The end result is you got what you wanted.
Yeah.
You got what you wanted. Okay, great.
Perception.
Help me out.
Everybody's perception of whether or not you're successful or not.
You're successful based on how other people see you. Yeah, that's huge. Okay, so how other people see what you're doing or not doing. Very good. Does that cover it? Any other thoughts to fill it out a little bit?
Wealth.
Yes, very good. It could be an example of if somebody wants wealth and they set out to get it, they've got it. Okay, so I'll just write these quickly here. Got what you want. Perception, people see you as successful. Wealth.
Probably like wealth, power, fame.
Well, yeah, what was the first one?
A wealth, power, fame.
Wealth, power, fame, yeah. Great, that's a good summary. Maybe for all of it. Wealth, power, fame. If you were with us in November, Nancy helped walk us through a model of both evaluating actions, but then also seeing if we're being consistent with our beliefs and our values. So we're going to look at this briefly. We're going to use it to be able to understand a little bit of these actions. This is simplified. In a sense, it's oversimplified. When I send out the email with a link to this PowerPoint, I'll also include a slide with the more info that Nancy gave, because that would be helpful for using it even in your own life. And I'll briefly explain some of the differences. But this idea that actions are not just actions, they're coming from somewhere in us and what we do. So what you see on the surface would be our outward behavior. When we were describing Bob and Susie or Sally or whatever their names were, the most likely to succeed, and we gave these characteristics, I mean, that is kind of in the outward behavior zone. That's what we can see that they're doing. Okay, beliefs inform our behavior, and this is the part where I simplified it. I'll talk about that more later, but we talk about beliefs informing why we do what we do, and then we have most deeply held values that are going to inform our beliefs that inform why we do what we do. So what does all this mean? When I get to interact with something, it helps me, so I'm going to throw out a silly, bogus example that helps us to interact with this iceberg model. Here's one of my most deeply held values. Not really, but let's pretend. Cookies bring true meaning and significance to life.
Amen, brother.
Okay, I got somebody with me. Now, this is one of my most deeply held values, okay?
Aww.
Cookies bring true meaning and significance to life. Suppose that it is. Not really. But maybe kind of, but not really. So, what is a belief that is going to come from my value?
You always have to have baked goods.
Excellent. I always have to have baked goods. Keep going. What are some more beliefs that I could have from my value?
Cookies are good for me.
Mercy?
Cookies are good for me.
Cookies are good for me. They're great for me. Yes.
More is better.
More is better.
Only people love you that would give you cookies.
Only people love me that would give me cookies. If I don't have cookies, my life doesn't matter. I'm missing a huge core of significance.
You wear a blue.
What's that?
You wear a blue fuzzy suit.
Other people should love cookies as much as I do.
Is it not just for me? Because it's a value I have that is universal. And so other people should have cookies too.
People who don't like cookies are morally wrong.
I mean, that's just a true statement in general. Okay, and we can keep going with more beliefs that would come from my value, but let's go on another level up. What are my behaviors based on my beliefs? I'm looking for cookies.
You're the first one with the cookie platter.
Okay.
You take the best. You're taking
all. Biggest, the best, the softest baked. Yeah.
You don't like people who don't like cookies.
They don't like people who don't like cookies.
Confront your wife if she don't bake.
I missed the first part.
You confront her, like maybe conflict with your wife if she don't bake.
Yes. Yes, I do.
I did make cookies for Tim one time.
What were you going to say, Kim?
Oh, I was going to say you might rifle through the grocery bags when your wife gets home from the grocery store to see if there are any cookies.
No, this is an imagined scenario. We don't want to talk about it. Jen.
I was
going to
say marriage with cookies may be stronger than actual marriage.
Okay. Yes.
And not that that's true at all. I'm just saying.
If cookies are what matter, they're what matters. Okay. So we've interacted with the model a little bit. We see how our values lead to our beliefs, which lead to our actions. So let's come back to, we've been looking at our actions, what we are able to see on the surface, and so we described somebody. Here, these definitions of success, we can put in the beliefs. Success is to get what you want. Success is people perceiving you that way. Success is you get wealth, power, money. So we started, so we're now working backwards on the model. I just gave you an example where we went from values to beliefs to behavior. We're now going from behavior to beliefs because we're evaluating, right? We're looking at what we can see, and so we've gotten down to the beliefs, and now we want to get down below the beliefs to what are some of the values that could inform these beliefs? What are some of the values that inform this as what success means?
I need to fulfill my longing for sugar.
Need to fulfill my longing? Scenario. Okay. For sugar, let's transition. Cookies are really fun for me, but let's transition from cookies, and let's go back to an American definition of success that we're looking at here. And so these are beliefs that success is what I want. What is a value that could inform that belief?
Would it work to say that, for the perception one, would it work to say that a belief or a value is that I am only as good as what people think I am?
Yeah. What do you guys think? I hear a lot of nods, yeah. I am as good as people think I am. And so that could be maybe on the cusp of a belief, but also a value that people are going to give me importance, or people's perception give me importance. Exactly. Good. So let's keep going. What are some more values that inform this as a belief?
Very important. The deep one is just only the strong survive.
Yeah. Only the strong survive. Okay. Good. Jen.
Kind of piggybacking off of that one, maybe it's not, maybe it is, too. There's never enough, so you always have to have more of it.
Hmm. Yeah, there's never enough. We're not content. We always are going for more.
Yeah.
Dave.
You know, my value as a person is dependent on how well I can get what I want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Good.
Success will always feel empty dependent, and all of these are not addressing what your personal view is. Do you feel successful in the it's all very much on what other people are telling you success is.
Uh-huh.
So if you have all that but you still don't feel
yeah, could be. Good. So if it's all based on other people's perception, it could be a huge part of the scene, but we believe that's what success is how people see us. Thanks. Ben?
My needs are more important than other people's needs.
Yeah, there seems to be a big self-centered, what I want, what I'm aiming to get, what I can accomplish, what I'm capable of, how people see me. Mm-hmm. A lot of the values informing it.
rise of power of others must diminish.
There's not room enough on the top for two.
There's only enough for one.
Yeah, interesting. It can create a competition.
Wealth or comfort will make me happy.
Yeah, good. What I have, what I get, can make me happy. So this helps us to interact a little bit with how we perceive our culture and the behaviors that people have that they drive toward that they call successful, that we even see people and we think, they seem really successful. And what are the values that are informing the belief of success and why are we acting that way? So now let's switch it a little bit. We just did that. Let's switch definitions, okay? Don't forget this. We'll interact with it a little bit more, but let's look at a different definition. And let's see what the Bible would say, and let's ask, what does the Bible call success? And so up on the screen is Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 6. If everybody, sorry if I'm in your way, if you can see it. I'll read it out loud. If you want to read it with me, great. If you want to find it in your Bible, great. 6, 4 to 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Based on what we're looking at in Scripture, how does the Bible define success?
Love God.
Any other thoughts to go with it? I mean, it kind of hits the nail on the head. It's pretty direct, and that's what it is. It's love God. And we fill it out. It's love God with all of us. It's not love God with a part of us. We're not love God to look Christian. It's love God with our heart, our soul, our strength. So what we feel, what we believe, who we are in our inner core, our strength, what we do with our actions, it's seeking to love God with all of us. And that's what it means to succeed. So, working with this definition, look at your scenarios that you created earlier, and not according to our culture's definition of success, but according to the Bible's definition of success. What does it look like for somebody to succeed in that scenario that you created? You might not come up with any different answers. Sometimes the outward actions are going to look the same based on very different values and beliefs. But apply this new definition of success to the scenarios that you created earlier. So what does it look like for that child to love God in that scenario? Make sense? Okay, ready to go. So as you applied this different definition of success to your scenarios, maybe you answered the same way for what it would look like to succeed. Maybe there were some differences. If you notice any differences in how a child would succeed in your scenario, what were those differences?
Oh.
Spokeswoman, and remind us of your scenario, and then what were some of the differences?
Yeah, so our scenario was, you know, creating empathy in our kids. Our scenario to begin with, though, is already kind of a biblically based success scenario, so it's not one that I feel like there's as much, the success would be that much different, but we said in order to, like, what success would look like on a Christian standpoint or on a biblical standpoint was that the individual would truly see the value of others through Christ's eyes, and then see other people are worth the sacrifice of putting aside yourself. And we were talking about, though, like, if a six-year-old was doing that, then awesome, you know, but
whoa,
most of the time they're doing it because they want to obey the parents, and then that heart change comes later. But
right, and so even developmentally appropriate, oftentimes a six-year-old is not going to be able to think through all that, but if they are seeing
their siblings, because mom and dad said it's what they should be doing, and they understand through talking to them that it's what God would want you to do too. Yeah.
Very good.
I think Ben said something about it would make their motivation easier.
The reasoning for why they're doing something is different too. Good, thank you. Let's just go backwards from the way we went earlier.
So our young person has been, hopefully through their high school years, have been developing their spiritual life and learning how to submit and seek God out. What is that next step? You know, what is that next college? What is that next mission? and then hopefully surrounding themselves with the right people who are encouraging them and supporting them spiritually, who, I don't know, really seeking God for every step of the way.
Yeah. So it's less of, I want to get into this program, so I'm going to, and it's more of, what does God want me to do?
Is this the program that God is going to use in my life that I can reach out to others, or, yeah, it's more God-centered, and if that's, yeah, and it might not look successful to culture, but yet if that's truly what God wants that young person to do and be about,
great,
then that is successful.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. In the back.
So our scenario was, you know, a student trying to do, you know, doing well in sports. And I guess, you know, it's not a lot of difference in the success of being in the sports and stuff, but I see a lot of difference, like, their personality and how they interact with other people, especially, like, you know, they're like, they would look more like they're the first person at the beginning and end of game to take a knee and pray. You know, you see that vilified a lot. You know, oh, you're just, especially when coaches and stuff do that. But, you know, being confident and just, that's what you're called to do, so, you know, still doing it even though other people look down. Mm-hmm.
And so they're still really good at sports, they're succeeding in it, but their heart in it is different. Yeah. Good. Thank you. This is great for
the next day. Our scenario was the child in the store who wants something, but they get healthy out of here, throw a tantrum. So in this situation, it might be, of course, the parents are really involved in helping them make the decision or helping direct their behavior. And an older child might ask, would God want me to have this? How would God want me to act on this? Is it happening with the action I'm about to take? And maybe the time that I don't honor God is beneficial for me.
Thanks. We both passed you guys. Did you get to talk about anything that you want to share with us?
Well, I think we had talked about a scenario where the child is a student, and whether they're being successful as a student, but also as a child in a family setting. And definitely biblical influence, change of heart, God directed, the decision the child makes about whether they're going to put effort into schoolwork, whether they're going to make decisions to hang out with the wrong type of kids, cut class, do behaviors that would take them away from being a successful student. Those things definitely change when a person's led by the Spirit.
Yeah, for sure. Good. Thank you. And you guys?
I mean, I would just say that starting at an early age, I think the way I would look at it is you're basically instilling principles and providing them with tools that ultimately they can practice the Great Commission as they get into their teen years and into their, you know, adult years. So you're trying to really provide them with those lessons and those tools at an early age, I think.
You know, also just thinking about motivational changes, as we were talking about high school students, and I thought in my life I loved to swirl around in high school prior to coming to know Jesus. And it was Jesus' change in my life that gave me the perspective that my purpose was granted to me by Him, and that He had something before me and the skills He gave me. And so that I had this growing love to be able to now put my hands to the plow for His sake. And that was only because of Jesus in me. And then for me to enter into the teaching world, there's this complexity of helping your child also understand that although we have these standards of success in the academic world and the sports world or whatever, we pursue those for whatever motivation, that we have to constantly look at what is this external behavior, what is driving it? I mean, if we think of each day and how we operate, really, what is driving us? It's so often veiled with our insecurities, our pride, our whatever it is. And so to be able to cut through that and humbly help the child to evaluate, recognizing we're in this together with a lot of weaknesses, and that however you pursue your schoolwork, God may have equipped you in great skill in math, but maybe you didn't. And so you think, how do you work for His glory? How do you, you know, you're in, it's not necessary that you get that A. You may never get that A, or you may have the capacity to get that A, but there are some other things you're focusing on simultaneously that are a higher priority to you by God's work in you, for whatever purpose those could be. And you have to then start balancing and fighting through all of the cultural challenges and your own personal insecurities and weaknesses that make you want to push your child or whatever. There's so many things. It's really fairly complex to try to cut down and into the truth of what it looks like to serve God humbly. I mean, it's not an easy task. But anyway, so that would be first, fundamentally, do they know Jesus?
Amen, yeah. And for both the child and for the parents, I remember in to college as a child, of course, but there was a professor who was saying, you know, for you to live, it was a small Christian school, so we got to do crazy things in college, like pray before class, and it was awesome. For you to love God most with your life might not mean that you get an A in my class. You shouldn't be telling me that. What do you mean? But based on what my commitments were, what God was calling me to do, maybe that was the case. Now, certainly there were times when I didn't get an A, and it wasn't because I was loving God any better, it was because I was a bad steward of my time, you know? But we need to figure out what's really driving us, and that's on the child level. We've been talking about how does the child succeed, but also, and this is kind of more internal work that we can do and talk about with friends as we go from here this morning, what drives us as parents and how we train our children, because we live through our kids often sometimes. So it's not just what grid is success for them, how do we perceive our kids to have succeeded or failed? And that, of course, is what is going to drive how we interact with them. Okay, we are going to wrap up in just a couple of minutes, and so the belief, the outward behaviors, everything you guys just described, okay, the belief is success means to love God. What is the value that comes below that belief? So we believe that success means to love God. What value comes below that that informs that is our belief of success?
That God exists.
That God exists. Very good. What else? That his way is the right way, the true way.
God's word is true.
His word is true, yes.
Understanding the cross and what that means.
Mm-hmm. The gospel in our lives and what Jesus did for us and why that matters. Good. And that we are subservient to him. That meaning in life is found in following our Creator King. And we need to obey him with our lives and what he says. So we care what he says to love God. So, and we were just touching briefly on this, as parents, how we train for success, and of course our definition of success is how we're going to train our child to succeed or fail. When and how do we train our children, both on purpose, explicitly, and then implicitly, although that's not necessarily just by accident, but explicitly and implicitly, when and how do we train our children for success? How do we teach them what success means?
Okay, this is just a really elementary answer, but potty training is something that we're doing right now. And it's easy to want to be, like, frustrated and impatient and or stop and try to, like, figure out, Lord, how can I be really kind right now because I'm really tired?
Yeah. So how we interact with our three-year-old, that's us right now, as they're learning how to use the toilet. Yeah, so how we train the small things.
But if I was purposeful in showing that I love my children, that's a very successful day. And so on the days that I'm doing success in the right way, because I'm doing that, and on the days that I don't know why, but I'm very hopeful to be able to be
able
to be able to be able to be able
It's huge. It's going to shape the culture of our family, and what they understand success to be is how we live out success ourselves. Right?
I think one really powerful way that we train them implicitly is our reaction to their misbehaviors. So, like, an example, if one of my kids embarrasses me in a group because they're acting out or whatever, I might react really strongly to that because of my own fallible nature. And so they perceive, oh, other people's perceptions of me are really important. But that's not something I want to train them.
Right. Yeah, that's huge.
We just did New Year's resolutions, and we talked about all those goals we set. And so, talking about spiritual goals, we have a spiritual goal, you know, is a success marker for our faith. Is to say, I can work on this and achieve that.
Yeah, very good.
And we know that we're not always trying to get there, but there are things we do along the way and actually feel about success in our life.
Yeah. Good. Those are good contributions out there. Other thoughts? A lot of good thoughts. Catherine?
With our 15-year-old, we're doing this school being something that's an element. First, you know, how you invent, but you don't need to micromanage school and grades, but it's teaching her the integrity aspect is important. You know, I don't mind if you're not getting A's and B's, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried that you're actually doing your work and doing it well to your full potential. And teaching her that that is success, who's doing
their
best,
putting
their all into it, so
that
you can feel that
you've
done a good job.
Great. And you take effort and intentionality to train her in that and to talk to her about it. Very good.
Yes. I think kids hand us a lot of opportunities with the questions that they ask. You know, they ask sometimes outlandish questions, but those are opportunities because they're interested, and it's an opportunity to speak to them.
Very good. Yeah, we get opportunities all over the place, don't we? Okay, we're going to wrap up. So here are some thoughts. Well, this is the rest of the passage, Deuteronomy 7 through 9, talking about how do we train. And it lists, impress these commandments on your children when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the doorframe of your houses and gates. So as you all are saying, biblically we're instructed in the little things and the big things. We teach God's word to our children through all areas of life, through what we do. Okay, I'm just going to put these up here and I'll leave them here. These are some questions for reflection as you go. You can share and talk with your spouse. You can think about them, journal about them yourself. Just some ways to kind of keep digging into your life and success and your children and what that looks like. I'll read them out loud quickly, and then I'll pray and we'll go. What scenarios for success really are facing you and your children? What definitions of success do you live out and train? And when do they seem to differ? Because we don't always function from the same definition of success based on what's going on in our lives. What values inform your views of success? So you can pull up that iceberg model and think, right now, I think this is success, but why? And go a step lower and ask yourself what's going on. What influences in your life encourage a biblical definition of success? And then what influences in your life encourage a different definition of success that differs from the world? Okay, let me pray, and we'll be done. Lord, we love you because you love us. You initiate your grace and your goodness. You initiate a relationship. You have not only created us and formed us of who we are, what we're skilled at, what we're challenged by. You pursue us. You want to know us in an intimate relationship, and we praise you for that. And help us to understand that love in such a way that our hearts are moved to love you and to want to love you fully with all of our lives. And we pray that that love would shape our families and that that love would be a germ to grow inside of our children too. That you would help us to shepherd and steward our children and put them toward true success. That you would help us to be able to guide them to love you in all the different ways that face us. Help us to walk by the power of your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for being here. We have one coming up on February 13th. ? So look for info on that. If there's any food, help us clean it out on your way out. Thank you, guys.